It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
What could you do if your data was working for you and not against you? With Bloomberg delivering enterprise data directly to your systems, you get easy access to the details you want, optimized for higher-level analysis, and financial data experts committed to helping you maximize your every move. Our data is made for more, so you can show the world what you're made of. Visit Bloomberg.com/enterprise data to learn more.
It was a tall order, but you certainly delivered. Well, Coursera is one of the largest online learning platforms. It's been working on an online education for nearly a decade. That was way before we saw a move to online learning in the midst of a pandemic. The company out today with a new report that shows that women are turning to online education at higher rates during the pandemic than before the pandemic. Joining us now from Coursera is Dr. Emily Glassberg-Sands. She's Vice President of Data Science at Coursera. She joins us on the phone from Menlo Park, California. Dr. Sands, it's great to have you on the show. I wonder about what was the impetus to actually look at this? Because we do hear a lot when it comes to the way that the gender makeup of higher education, the way that more women are going to college in this day and age than men.
Yeah, thanks, Tim. Great to be here. So, you know, brief context on Coursera to situate the report. We were co-founded by professors Daphne Koller and Andrew Ng, really with the mission to provide universal access to world-class learning. And we believe new skills can open doors to new opportunities for folks from a range of backgrounds, and giving more women around the world access to top quality learning, including in STEM and digital fields that are fast growing in the labor market, has been a big part of our work since the beginning, inspired in no small part by Daphne's leadership. So the report was really inspired by the macro labor market trends we've been seeing amid the pandemic, in particular with women dropping out of the labor market and the unemployment crisis that has disproportionately impacted women. And so we took a look at how was that feeding through to their learning decisions, and what does that imply about where the labor market might be headed.
So, Emily, what are the skills that women are looking for when they turn to online learning? Are they trying to change jobs? Are they trying to get ahead in the jobs they already have?
Yeah, so, you know, we are seeing overall women turning to online education at higher rates than pre-pandemic, and actually their growth in online learning is outpacing that of men during the pandemic. So that means the gender gap in online learning is starting to close. This is a worldwide trend, but it holds through to the U.S. as well. And one of the things that's really striking, you know, you can look at overall course enrollments from women. They're increasing from about 42% in 2019 to 49% in 2021. So almost half of all course enrollments now are coming from women. But I'm heartened to see that this includes really strong growth in female enrollments in STEM courses and in entry-level professional certificates. So some of the most job-relevant content. To your question, we do see women looking to advance in their current careers, especially those that are already in technology-oriented fields like data and computer science. STEM course enrollments in the U.S. from women increased from about 35% pre-pandemic to about 42% in this year. But we're also seeing a lot of women investing in online learning in order to transition to new careers, especially entry-level professional certificate enrollments for women have really exploded. They were about 27% of those enrollments were by women in 2019, and it's now a much healthier 43% in 2021 as during the pandemic. Women are looking to transition to those entry-level roles.
We saw with the JOLTS, the Job Openings and Labor Turnover Survey yesterday, that this imbalance just continues to exist between the number of jobs that are available and the number of people who are unemployed. They're not necessarily meeting. There is this imbalance that still exists. What does your data tell you about the way that people can use Coursera coursework to actually get that job and be qualified for that job that's out there?
It's a great question. I think that's a lot of what we're seeing with this growth in global enrollments, but especially in female enrollments, right? Many people, but in particular women, dropped out of the labor market during the pandemic, including to care for children and other family members. They anticipated wanting to go back to work when childcare and other family constraints ease, and they know that developing incremental job-relevant skills now can help them do that, can help them re-enter the workforce in a better position than they left. And this isn't just about the pandemic. There are more and more jobs that are requiring digital skills. Digitization of a lot of customer employee workflows has certainly been accelerated during COVID. And so while women have on average been very busy especially during the pandemic. I have two little ones myself. The busyness is real.
I feel that.
Is that they've Yeah, totally. They've disproportionately managed to make the space to develop these new skills to prepare them to reenter the labor market and potentially to even reenter in newer and more rewarding positions that are faster growing and more lucrative than their former roles, and you know, really meeting that increased demand for digital skills.
The countdown has begun. This May, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg, held in conjunction with our official partners, the Qatar Ministry of Commerce and Industry and Media City Qatar, and premier sponsor QNB. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections and gain unique insights. Learn more at QatarEconomicForum.com.
Dr. Glassberg-Sands, I want to get back to what we were talking about before the break that we took. Tell us about who has been taking Coursera courses and how that's different from what we saw pre-pandemic and how that's evolved. Like who is the ideal, you know, user of the product? Or it's typical, I should say, not necessarily ideal, typical.
Yeah, so our learners are very heterogeneous. We actually have just shy of 90 million registered learners on the platform, including over 16 million from the U.S. I would say that during the pandemic, we've seen a couple of major shifts in the composition of those individuals, although they continue to be very diverse in their backgrounds and goals and interests. One major change has been, as I mentioned earlier, disproportionately women joining the platform to learn across the board, but especially in STEM and preparing for digital jobs. And then the second big shift we've seen is increasingly folks coming to Coursera not just to upskill in their current roles, but actually to prepare themselves to enter new jobs, including entry-level digital jobs. So think things like, how do I become a Google IT support specialist? Mm-hmm. How do I become an entry-level data analyst, a social media marketer, a data engineer? You know, early days Coursera, a lot of the folks who joined the platform were folks who already had advanced degrees, including graduate degrees. Now, increasingly, we're seeing people coming in who are in blue-collar jobs. Their work is being disrupted with increased automation, and they're looking for that gateway certificate program that can really be their foot in the door to an entry-level digital job. And that's been awesome to see. We survey learners, we ask them about the outcomes they're experiencing. The vast majority report positive career outcomes, improving their performance at work or selecting a new career path. And where we see the strongest outcomes is from those professional certificate programs, especially the entry-level ones, which are, again, aimed at preparing folks for those entry-level digital jobs.
So a question about this. How much is this replacing people's need to go back to professional schools? The reason I ask that is because we're sitting here in a country where so many people are saddled with so much student debt. And there's a lot of questions about whether we can recreate the model so that school training, gaining skills is both more affordable and most useful for the workforce. So are people doing professional certificate programs rather than going back to school?
Absolutely. And, you know, we actually have a range of learning programs from, you know, individual courses to professional certificate programs all the way up to full diploma-bearing degrees. But you hit the nail on the head that it needs to be, one, affordable, and then, two, flexible, right? In today's world, learning can and should be done on your own time. You can take a class from the world's best instructors while, you know, cooking dinner or driving the kids to the park. And when you have to do hands-on applied learning, you know, where you really need to be at a computer, you can also do that on your own time in whatever little pockets you can find for you. And so I do think a lot of it is cost reduction, being able to access this without going into serious debt. But there's also a real component around being able to continue to live your life, keep your job, be with your family, and progress in your career through online learning that then can unlock future career opportunities.
You know, it's worth also asking about you, because you have you're a woman in a data science job. So I'm wondering how you got there and how useful having this data science background has been for you.
Well, yeah, this report's very near and dear to my heart for many reasons. I'm an economist by training, so I've long been passionate about understanding sources of inequality and what we can do about them. And, you know, I fell into tech through that lens, through the impact that I wanted to have, not through my desire to work in the technology field itself. So in college at Princeton, I studied gender discrimination, actually in playwriting. I found through what's called an audit study, so sending never-before-seen scripts to artistic directors and literary managers around the country, that female playwrights were held to a higher bar than their male counterparts. In graduate school at Harvard, I continue to use data to understand who gets access to opportunity and why, focusing in particular on the role that referrals and personal networks play in job outcomes and what that means for equality of opportunity. And it was really that same drive to understand and improve level the playing field that brought me to Coursera 7 years ago. Universal access to high-quality learning and credentials, especially given the accelerated rate of change in the skills required for labor market success in the digital economy, seems like the foundations that we need to build on. So, I'm really excited about this report. I think it's a small step in the right direction of understanding gender parity in business and tech, where we are today, what trends we're seeing, what continued opportunities there are to close the gap. And yes, as a data scientist, also as an economist, but also just as a woman in tech myself, I think this report is particularly meaningful, and I'm heartened by the results we're seeing so far.
Well, Dr. Glassberg-Sands, it raises the question for me about when you think, if ever, you could get the experience that you got as an undergraduate at Princeton and as a PhD student at Harvard by not actually being on campuses there, and whether or not that ever will be fully replicated online.
So yes and no. I mean, we're never going to fully replicate the fully on-campus experience in the online environment, but the online environment allows us to scale the best instructors, the best of teaching and learning to a much, much broader audience and at much more accessible price point and on their own time. So a very simple example, I think about the role that instructors play. And on the Coursera platform, we see that female learners enroll more than male learners in courses taught by female instructors. About half of enrollments from female learners are in courses with a female instructor, and that number for men is just about 38%. And this trend holds even when you control for things like the domain of study. The effect is very clearly causal. We've run some experiments here boosting how salient is the gender of the instructor, especially in STEM content. And we found that emphasizing that the instructor is female produces substantial uplift in enrollments in those domains by female learners. And when I think about this, I really think it's like role models matter. So you talk about my experience at Princeton, right? I found economics to be a heck of a lot less scary for me because I was being advised by CC Rouse, who's now chair of the Council of Economic Advisors, and Chris Paxson and Claudia Golden, all strong female economists. And I joined a company that was led by Daphne Koller, and I certainly attribute a chunk of my success in tech to her modeling. And I think one of the things that excites me about a platform like Coursera is its ability to scale high-quality, diverse role models for a world of learners along gender and a host of other dimensions. So, no, I don't think we'll ever completely replicate the in-person experience, but I think there is a lot of goodness that we can bring at scale and at low cost to folks around the world who need it.
Dr. Emily Glassberg-Sands, Vice President of Data Science at the online education platform Coursera. Thank you so much for taking the time and joining us on Bloomberg Business Week. She joined us from Menlo Park, California.
Collaborate for a greener future at the Bloomberg Green Festival, a groundbreaking celebration of the thinkers, doers, and innovators leading the way from design and culture to technology, science, and entertainment. Hear from inspirational speakers and immerse yourself in climate solutions, July 10th through 13th in Seattle. Title sponsor, Amazon. Official airline, Alaska Airlines. Get 20% off using promo code RADIO20 at BloombergLive.com/greenfestival.